The imagery of God as Shepherd King has great significance as we come to this Christ the King Sunday. Israel was familiar with that imagery of kings, especially in the book of Ezekiel, where he calls the kings shepherds. In the verse just before our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel speaks out against the kings for their neglect to care for his people. Question: what does God's word say to us about God as our shepherd king and we his flock? God as shepherd often brings to mind for some the 23rd Psalm, picturing God as comforting, protecting, caring for his flock. But maybe for some, the imagery from John's gospel comes to us where Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, one who provides abundantly, one who will lay down his life for his sheep. God sees his people neglected in our Old Testament texts, so he decides to step in. Verse 15, we read, "I myself will shepherd the people." Once again, God tells his people, "I will establish a relationship with you." I will. Future tense. I will establish. Through the line of David will come that shepherd. On this side of the resurrection, we know Christ becomes that fulfillment. The gospel lesson today portrays Christ to be the shepherd king who judges his people. What at first appears to be a drastic contrast really continues to show Christ as the good shepherd. The parable expresses the spirit of the Old Testament. It was the duty of the shepherd to keep his sheep separated from those who did not belong from the fold or who could harm them. Christ, the shepherd king, judges, separating the sheep from the goats. Now, some don't like that image about Christ as judge. Some would like to stop at the Old Testament texts and not get into the gospel. But that would only give us an incomplete picture of God, failing to see that God is a God of his word. He calls us into the fold. That is a privilege. That is a gift. The good news this day, Christ our King comes to us to identify with us. As part of his fold, we are called to love and serve both the deserving and the undeserving, to show that we are capable of doing his will. Christ calls his disciples and he tells them that they need to get ready for the judgment day. And the time of waiting is to be a time of preparation, participation in God's work. A great message as we are now next week to enter into the Advent season. A season of waiting, preparing, anticipating, not just to celebrate the birth event, but Christ's return. The parable stresses the urgent call to live out our relationship with God through our involvement with one another. Those who are rejected from the kingdom in our text seem kind of surprised. From their response, we can assume that they would have done anything to serve God. If they had only known that God desires the poor to be fed, they would have done it. They were concerned about pleasing God, but they missed the most obvious opportunities. Giving a drink of water, sharing a meal, welcome a stranger, visit the sick. Simple acts which would show their love for God and for each other. We are to give of ourselves in ministry to others, and that implies personal involvement. Story is told of the missionaries of charity in India. They recognized their duty that as gathering in the name of Jesus, those who are dying on the streets of Calcutta. They bring as many as they can into their homes and allow them to die in their arms. They do not solve the problem of India's crowded streets, nor do they solve the problem of dying. The dying still die. But they do a profound Christ act. They join with the dying, wrapping themselves around, letting the dying die clean and cherished. They join together in a bodily way, showing the King who reigns and that the kingdom is near. Question: how do we show our King reigns and his kingdom is near? The next time a friend or a relative is in the hospital, ask yourself, if sending a get well card the most complete way for me to minister to that person, is it the most self-giving way that I can serve? Or would a personal visit be the most self-giving way to bring God's love into that person's life? Or perhaps finding a task that needs to be done and they're unable to do it at the moment. According to our gospel, serving others unselfishly and most completely is the same as serving Christ. We just got done with a Thanksgiving season, and this story relates to today's text. A teacher asked her class of first graders to draw something for which they were thankful. Being mostly from disadvantaged families, the children were not accustomed to much of material things, but most of them would have some kind of Thanksgiving dinner. The teacher assumed they would draw pictures of turkeys and other goodies associated with the holiday, and most of them did, except for Douglas. He was the teacher's true child of misery, frail, forlorn, likely to be very close by her while the rest of the kids went out for recess. Douglas' picture was of a hand. But whose hand? The class was captivated by the abstract image. One child said, "It's the hand of God who gives us food." Another child thought it was the hand of a farmer because farmers grow turkeys. Another suggested a hand of a policeman because policemen protect and care for us. And so the discussion went on until the teacher almost forgot to ask Douglas. When the children had gone to do their other assignments, the teacher paused at Douglas' desk, bent down, and asked, "Whose hand is it?" And Douglas whispered, "It's yours, teacher." Then the teacher recalled that she had often taken Douglas by the hand to walk here and there with him, but she did that with the other children too. But that it should have meant so much to this lonely little boy. Christ calls us to be the emotional, spiritual, physical ministers to a world in need, a people in need. Those very needs are here within this church family, as they are outside these walls. The message of the gospel is not a simple formula of being a nice person. It calls us in a radical way, called to follow a King who meets his people in their suffering, in their loneliness, in their confusion, in their life disappointments. God's "I love you" comes to another through our touch, our listening, even through passing the peace on Sunday morning. Christ our King went to the cross to meet our every need, to identify everything that we will ever experience in this life. Christ our King has conquered everything. And in that conquering, we are lifted up from whatever pulls us down. And the reason that we might live victoriously now and forever. Rejoice, Christ is our King. Amen.